And welcome. I'm Dr. Mona Kular, and this is To Immunity and Beyond. I'm a medically trained doctor and nutrition and health coach, and I love helping people find the very best version of themselves. This show is all about living well, feeling well, and most importantly, aging well. The immune system is essentially the body's wellness system, so by understanding and supporting it, we can all reach an optimal level of health. I'll be having conversations with a wide range of experts from around the world on all the areas that can support our immune system to help us live healthier for longer. Let's live life better. Hello and welcome to Immunity and Beyond. My guest this week is Kishan Badalia, an NHS doctor, DJ and creator of NH Sessions. Kishan launched NH Sessions last year at the beginning of the pandemic from his kitchen in his efforts to bring his DJing and music to those who needed it most. Over time, he realised that he was having an impact on those both near and far, and we talk today about how he came to launch this exciting project and the impact it's had not only on him, but on people through the pandemic. Hi, Badalia. Thank you so much for joining me today. It's great to have you on the show.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to chat to you.
Same. Now, many people will already know a lot about you, but could we start with finding out a bit more about who you are, what you've been doing, and what you do at the moment?
So my full name is Kishan Badalia, but I go by Badalia because I guess I'm Dr. Badalia or DJ Badalia, because those are my, I guess, the two main parts of my life. And I'm 26, living in Birmingham at the moment. I studied here. Home for me is in the Midlands. And for the last couple of years, I've been working as a junior doctor, done various different rotations. But more recently, over the last 18 months now, during the pandemic, I've been really kind of developing my music and trying to get music in front of as many people as I possibly can. And music's been a really important part of my life ever since I was a child, really. And to be able to share it with people at such a difficult time has been like a real pleasure. And the fact that it's been having an incredible impact just makes it totally worthwhile.
So what do you do now work-wise? Are you still in hospital or are you doing something different now?
So at the moment, I am on a four-month GP rotation. So I've done about just over 3 months of that now. And that's as part of my F2, which I'll be finishing this year, well, in August. And then I'll be taking some time out. But before that, I've done rotations in an A&E on respiratory, and then I was kept on a respiratory ward for a further 4 months because of COVID. I worked on orthopedics, got redeployed to the intensive care unit this year, and now more recently, I've moved on to my proper sort of rotation, which is GP.
Yeah. So you were really in the thick of it then during a lot of COVID, being on respiratory wards, A&E and intensive care. You were sort of right at the coalface.
Definitely. I mean, when it all kicked off last March, I was on the respiratory ward and I was only maybe 6 months into being an F1 doctor. And what I learned during that period of time was that I felt a sense of unknown, uncertainty and like fearful, and there's all these new challenges. But it was seeing the kind of reaction from consultants and doctors who had been, you know, specialists in the respiratory field for like all of their careers, feeling that same level of sort of strain, if not more, because they had that level of responsibility and they had nothing to go off. So from the very beginning, it was very, very challenging across the board. But I mean, I've always been grateful throughout. I've had such an amazing team, a team that is so supportive. And also the opportunity to learn, I guess, it's been an experience that's never happened before. And to have an amazing team to get me through it has been amazing, but also the privilege of working in areas of the hospital that I never thought I would have access to. So, for example, doing night intensive care unit or high dependency unit as the only SHO on the ward during the nights, and being given that sort of level of responsibility, but knowing that there are senior support above me, in fact, more support than ever because it was such a difficult time. So, yeah, it's been incredibly difficult. But it has been a learning experience, and feel like we're getting through it.
Yeah. And, you know, that first year after you qualify, as you say, it's it's there's so much unknown and uncertainty, and you're learning so much on the job as you go along. And you really rely on your team, don't you, to pull you through that. So I can only imagine what that camaraderie must have been like, actually, you know, over the last year or so, when everyone was really in this very new sort of uncharted territory. That must have been actually quite, you know, I don't know, like morally boosting in many ways to be part of that whole thing together, where you're all really in the same boat.
Completely. And as you say, I was at the very start of my work as a doctor, and at that point, only a few months in, obviously to other people they'll think, oh, he's a doctor, he knows what he's doing, but obviously you'll know that 6 months in, you're like you're still learning, and even
absolutely.
Like 5-10 years in, you're still learning. It's a career of lifelong learning. So
yeah,
I did feel kind of, I felt like I wasn't well prepared for this. I don't think anyone was, so we're all in the same boat. Now, having consultants and leadership where they were giving you additional support, they were making your hours more comfortable. If anyone was off sick, they would make sure that you have the right support and that you're well backed up on the wards, was really ideal. And I think it really, it's such a nice feeling to be able to have other junior doctors around you and consultants just coming together and, you know, sharing that, sharing those hard moments, also the good moments. Being able to go off the wards and talk about things if you want to, and having someone who really understands what's going on, and that gives us that social contact that we really, really need. I think one thing that I've learned is that what people see in the media might be representative of one particular hospital at one point in time, but what I've always found is that it never fully aligns with what I'm doing. So what they show today might be accurate to what I experienced a month ago, but it's so different across the board. But my experience throughout has been that it's been unpredictable. It's been challenging and sad. But that feeling of having a team to stick together has been the thing that's got us through it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's when the NHS really comes into its own, actually, not just for patients, but for the people who work within it. It's that sense of togetherness and working as a team.
Yeah.
So you started something called NH Sessions. Have I said that right? Yes.
Spot on. Yeah. It's NHS per sessions, merge NH Sessions.
I love it. So you started this last year. Is that right?
That's right. As soon as the pandemic started, I needed something to take my mind off things.
Yeah.
So I launched this.
So where did the idea for that come from? How did it materialize? When did you first do it? And how did it, you know, mushroom into what it's become?
Last year, when I was working on respiratory, we were hearing the rumours of COVID. And then pretty quickly, we went into that lockdown. And the thing I was doing to keep myself active and just, you know, take my mind away from things, because I live on my own as well, and I go outside to meet people, I would just go for walks. And it was during one of the walks, I had the idea. And I thought it was a cool idea. NHS plus sessions, bringing music into it, could do some DJ sets in my scrubs. It was a bit of a wild idea and one that I never thought I would have actually done. But I sent a message to one of my really good friends saying, I've had this idea. What do you think? And he said, just do it. Like, he's not a medic in any way. He doesn't work in healthcare. That's a brilliant idea. So having that outsider's opinion. And I just cracked on with it. I reached out to loads of friends who work in music, who are DJs or singers. And I said, look, I want to do this. I want to get music in front of as many people as possible. Send me your videos of you performing. And I kicked off NH Sessions with a DJ set in my scrubs in my kitchen after a night shift whilst I was making breakfast, followed by artist performance. So, for example, there was an international saxophonist from Ibiza who recorded a video, which I posted on my Instagram. And again, that got shared and it came under the umbrella of NH Sessions with the aim of celebrating our frontline workers, but also lifting the spirits of everyone who was stuck in isolation or in lockdown. And it seemed to work. It picks up really fast.
Yeah, because obviously at that time, you know, so many people were just at home, weren't they? Unable to see people, get out, do anything. And actually something like that would have been such a welcome, you know, just additional piece of something for them to look forward to or engage in.
It's amazing what social media can do. And over the last 12 months, I've really loved social media for the positive changes that it can have, and also features such as live streaming. And this was really pivotal to getting NH Sessions off the ground. I did a live stream collaboration with Dr. Rupi, the Doctor's Kitchen. And I just woke up to a voice note from him one day saying, like, I love what you're doing. How about I cook on a Friday night and you DJ at the same time? I'll have a bit of a chat and just see what happens. And this was a way that people who were stuck at home, not sure what to do on a Friday night, they were bored, they were lonely, they were sad, they were anxious. They didn't know what to do. They had something that they could engage with. They could either dance along, or they could cook along, or they could just sit and watch. And that's what was so amazing about it. We were bringing music, and I guess good health and good food in front of so many people. And that was the start of me collaborating with so many incredible influencers, like fitness influencers, cooks like Rupi, other celebrities, just to get music in front of people, but also, I guess, physical health and, you know, eating well and staying fit at the same time. Yeah.
And I loved, I mean, I watched that and it was brilliant. And as you say, you don't even need to be like really massively into music to just enjoy watching, because you've got Rupi doing the cooking and he's just so charismatic when he does that anyway. You've got you on the set. And yeah, it's just entertainment. But as you say, you know, you've then married it with sort of healthy health messages, which is amazing, because then you're also getting that in front of people. So it's just brilliant.
That's exactly what my aim was, you know, to get great music in front of people. And I suppose my vision would have always been to make sure that music's having a positive impact, but I never knew quite what that impact would be. But it was as it started to unfold and as more and more people got involved, I realized what the power of what I was doing was, which was, you know, if people can cook along and make a healthy meal, that's amazing. The music's part of that. If they're going to do this home workout at the same time, that's incredible. But the time when it really kind of hit home what was going on was when I got approached by Sport England and they asked me to speak about N8 sessions on Sky News at breakfast time, 8:45 with Kay Burley, but incorporate what they were doing with their campaign, which was called Stay In, Work Out. It was promoting a bank of resources on the government website, which was encouraging people to exercise and find ways of staying fit at home. And it made me realize that what I'm doing is actually reaching people. And there's an angle to really push physical well-being and also mental well-being with what I'm doing, whether it be through the media or just on social media.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
How good are vitamin C supplements? Usually only a small proportion of vitamin C actually reaches your cells and has a positive effect. Whereas the high absorption levels of Goldman Laboratories' liposomal vitamin C help maintain optimal vitamin C levels in your body and strengthen your immune system. Now get 10% off when you choose Goldman Laboratories' liposomal vitamin C capsules. Just quote 10 off at goldmanlaboratories.com.
Do you suffer from pain? B-Cure Laser, a home-use CE-approved medical device for the effective treatment of pain, is now available in the UK. The results of a double-blind trial has shown that B-Cure Laser offers a significant reduction in pain compared to the placebo group. To get your special B-Cure offer now, call free on 0808 501 5122 or Google Radio Pro London. B-Cure Laser.
The station that makes you feel good.
Yeah. And it's just such a productive and incredible way to use the power of what you're able to do for the greater good as well. So, you know, it's something to be so proud of.
Thank you. I mean, it's been a long journey, and when I look back on it, I think, wow, I can't believe this is how far we've come.
Yeah.
But I'm still nowhere near where I want to go.
So when you started, Were you just doing the sort of weekly sessions from your kitchen? And then obviously it started to grow as people got in touch with you and you started collaborating with people and doing these sort of extra add-on bits?
To begin with, I think I planned it for maybe a week or 2 weeks. I thought, this is my idea. I've created this logo in an app that's a bit like Paint, an 8 Sessions logo. Yeah. And I recorded my own DJ set in my kitchen and my scrubs. at the same sort of time, I reached out to other singers, DJs, instrumentalists. Yeah. They sent me videos, and my aim was to really keep momentum up. So I probably had enough for about 2 weeks, and I was posting these every single day after my shifts, and editing them around my shifts, and just learning how to use Instagram and getting all the content up out there. But quite quickly, in the first 24 hours, I was contacted by Wayne Lineker from Ibiza. And he was like, I love what you're doing. Let's make this big. And he gave me his number. I woke up to his number in my DMs. I thought, this is crazy. Wayne Lineker's going to get behind this. And he posted a video of me on his Instagram, on his actual feed and stories. And that's when more and more influence got behind it.
Yeah.
And then quite quickly, maybe a week or two late in, spoke to Rupi. We did a collaboration. And then I was probably doing 3 live streams a week on average. I would do a couple of fitness ones with a couple of different personal trainers. So one was a celebrity personal trainer who trains Marvin Humes and like Rochelle Humes. Another is a guy who is known for making healthy meals. And then obviously Rupi was on Friday. So we'd do about 3 a week. But then in and out of that, I would do odd ones with other brands or other influencers. And then as time went on, the type of content evolved. So I was still doing live streams. I was posting less performances, but then I was having celebrities send me videos saying, I want to nominate my track of the day. So for example, one big celebrity is Katie Piper. She messaged me saying, I want to get involved. And she recorded a video saying, my name is Katie Piper. Love what you're doing with NH Sessions. My track of the day is this. And the aim of that was to give everyone a song that they could listen to that day just to make them feel good.
Yeah.
And brings back to NH Sessions. So really the common theme is music that runs throughout.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned that you've always kind of been into music and interested in music. How far back does that go? Does it go right back to childhood? Did you play instruments? Yeah. Were you more of a listener? Where's that sort of history for you?
All my life, ever since I was, as far as I can remember, I've loved music. My dad showed me CDs of like saxophone players and jazz. He'd always listen to music.
Yeah.
And I think my earliest inspiration to play music myself was when my dad showed me, gave me the CD of like saxophone music that would help me sleep at night when I was really young. And since then I said to him, I want to learn how to play the saxophone. But it was a specific saxophone. It's a tenor saxophone. And I was way too small to play that. Like at that time, I was half the size of the saxophone. So when I was big enough, I started to learn the clarinet. Then when I'd done the clarinet, I went on to a slightly smaller saxophone. And then when I was about 16 and big enough, I eventually played the saxophone, tenor saxophone. I think it's the one that makes the nicest sound. It's the warmest sound. It's probably the one that, if you listen to music, that's usually a tenor saxophone. And then I played piano alongside it, a bit of guitar. I was trying to make a bit of music on my computer, like make my own songs, because I love what DJs do. But then it was when I went to university, that's when I really got immersed within the dance music scene and tried to push myself as a DJ and a producer.
Yeah. Did you carry on playing? Do you still play now?
No.
No.
I wish I've still got my saxophone, still got my clarinet. But with as soon as I went to university, I don't know where the time's gone.
I know.
I can't believe it. But I have every intention of picking it back up. My uncle did the same thing. He played it for a bit during his younger years, stopped for many, many years, and has recently picked it back up again. So
yeah,
I will do that.
Yeah, I think that time when you go to university and you first start in your career, whatever it happens to be, is there's so much going on and you've got to focus on so much. It's very hard to fit everything in, isn't it, really?
I mean, medicine, the degree is not 9 to 5. It's not you go to lectures 9 to 5. It's kind of like you go to your lectures and then somehow you got to do that many hours outside of the lectures as well, which is virtually impossible.
It's like a full-time job with like extra hours on top, isn't it?
And then you've got to socialise, you've got to go out, you've got to stay fit, you want to try new things. So, I believe try everything once, and that's what I did.
Yeah, definitely. So since you started this, have you noticed or had you noticed, because you said at the beginning it was to kind of like, you wanted to sort of wind down yourself and help to cheer and uplift other people. What kind of benefits have you noticed in yourself since starting this and getting more, you know, bringing music into your life much more than I imagine it was prior to this last sort of 18 months or so?
I think launching NH Sessions has really connected me with music on a whole new level. And it's given me benefits that I never even imagined I would ever expect. So at the very start, the initial benefits were, I suppose, having something to focus on outside of what was going on, a really healthy distraction. That's the first thing. As things started to grow, it gave me this vision and this evolving vision of something that could go somewhere and make a real impact. It gave me kind of a sense of purpose and direction.
Yeah.
And that's something really special that I found that I never really realized when it kicked off. That kind of came as time went on. I've learned new skills. I've met some amazing people online, some incredible influencers, other artists, established ones, but also emerging acts who I want to sort of push on the platform. So that's amazing. Being able to work with them on my new music, that's really exciting. And I suppose music has always been there for me, whether I'm happy or I'm sad. It's kind of the soundtrack to my life. So whether I'm just brushing my teeth, or I'm cooking, or just sitting, there'll be a song for that, or like a playlist for that. And that's exactly what I'm like. I listen to all kinds of music. So it really is integrated in every aspect. But in terms of other benefits I felt, I suppose it motivates me to go to the gym. Doing those collaborations with influencers, there was definitely a period of time where I was doing music for workouts, but I wasn't working out myself. And I thought, I've got to work out now. So it gave me that, drive as well. But I think across the board, from being able to develop a brand, that was great, having that excitement, but also to meeting people and, you know, it really making me healthier in my mind, but also in my body. It makes me happy.
Yeah. And have you managed to find a good balance between doing this at the moment and the work you're doing as a doctor still? Is that something you're still fine-tuning as you go along?
I think as a doctor, you've always got to adapt. Doing more music, it has basically now become a full-time career, alongside doing a full-time job. And obviously moving from rotation to rotation, it's a new team, a new set of people who have got to understand what I'm trying to do.
Yeah.
But the best thing is they're so supportive. So I mean, the deanery, who are the people high up, have said what you're doing is brilliant and that we'd love to support you. As long as the people who are like employing you on the wards are happy, whatever you need to do, do it. Do your interviews, because it's sending out a positive message. But the balance is difficult. The work-life balance is tough. But as time goes on, I'm going to fine-tune it. From August, I'm going to focus more on the music for a bit, but still work as a doctor. It's just a massive learning curve. But I'm quite disciplined.
Yeah. So when did you first sort of start to realise that what you were doing was actually having a real impact on other people? And by other people, I don't mean necessarily the people you were sort of promoting on your platform or engaging with, but just people in the public, people who were engaging with you on your social media or coming across you on other sort of public platforms.
The first times I realized it was having an impact was probably quite late on, when I would do bigger and bigger live streams and people would message me saying, oh wow, I just saw you from San Francisco on this live stream with this brand. And I think, wow, that's amazing. Or I'd have a nurse in a different country saying, I'm working as a nurse during COVID and your music just made me want to dance and smile. Or there'd be someone in hospital who says, I'm in hospital with this problem. What you're doing is motivating me. And one example is a patient who was in ITU and he was struggling with his rehab. And he sent me a message with photos from ITU, showing me that the music was motivating him through his rehabilitation. And he thought that lots of people will have told me that because of the numbers on the videos, like tens of thousands or even millions on some of them. But the fact is, you don't really realize the impact until you receive messages like that. And he sent me videos, he sent me photos of him on like the ventilators, and he showed me videos of him listening to the music. And that was one of the points where I thought this is having a real impact on people who are obviously suffering in hospital, but also those who are at home needing some company, I suppose.
Yeah. And that is so powerful, isn't it? I mean, I can't imagine how you must have felt receiving that, to know that you were personally having that positive impact on somebody else, but from a, you know, from a far-reaching standpoint, not direct as in you're standing there with them or you're in the ITU with them, but you're able to do that through the power of, you know, of social media.
Exactly. And the thing with social media is you'll see numbers of followers, likes or views, but you don't know who they are, and you only realize who they are when they actually, you know, put a face to that Instagram handle and say, this is me, this is the impact it's had.
So how do you think, because we know that there are positive effects of music on our physiological systems and our psychological systems. So there's some evidence that it can enhance the immune system, for example. I think there were some studies, perhaps not that many, or maybe more need to be done, but some that have shown it can boost levels of natural killer cells, which are the ones that go around killing off bacteria and viruses and cells that are infected. And actually, they also regulate our cancer cells, the natural killer cells. It can boost other parts of the immune system. It can reduce stress. It can reduce chronic pain in some people. And I think there was a smaller study that showed that post-operatively, so after someone had had a procedure, they needed less pain relief when they listened to certain types of music. So there are actual scientific benefits that we know about with music. Do you think there are ways we could be perhaps employing this more in healthcare settings? I mean, it's not something, I haven't worked in hospital for a while now, but certainly when I was in hospital, it's not something that was part of any healthcare packages. Do you think it could be? And if so, how do you think that could be something that starts to happen?
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Galar Light is the quantum energy emitted from the universe, from the sun and stars. Now, Tom Palladino, a humanitarian and Scalar Light researcher, has created the world's only Scalar Light healing system, a system that can bring long-distance healing and wellness to humans, pets, and plants via a photograph. Get your free 15-day trial now at scalarlight.com or click on the Scalar Light banner on the UK Health Radio website.
Shields like masks are top of mind right now, but did you know you have inner armor working constantly to protect you from pathogens? It keeps you healthy and thriving. It's your immune system. Ion Gut triggers the body's natural ability to support gut strength all year long, so your immune system can protect you when you need it the most. How are you treating your inner armor? Visit uk.ionbiome.com to learn more. Ion Gut. Protect what protects you.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
I mean, I completely agree with you. I think there's definitely an application of music in healthcare across the board. Now, for many, many years, we can all say music makes us feel better, but we can never say, we can never really explain why. And I'm so glad you sent me evidence to have a look at, because having that that sort of evidence and research behind it kind of explains why people are starting, why people do feel good, or they say it does help. We need something to kind of back it. I suppose as the evidence base does develop, there will definitely be uses for it. So, for example, like perioperatively, or people feeling stressed or anxious in mental health situations as well. Also, when I was looking at some of the evidence on like inflammation, it's just and the immune system, it's really compelling and it shows real potential. So I think as this evidence base grows and they can show that these physiological changes are manifesting in these kind of, I guess, performance benefits or these outcomes, then we can start using it. But I suppose we can use it anyway, because what harm is music going to do anyway? Nothing. Have a song in the background. It always makes people feel at ease or relaxed.
And anecdotally, you know, even without hard science, anecdotally, like you say, we know that when we're feeling sad, many of us will turn to music to uplift us, you know, or when you're at the gym, you put music on. And actually, there is science behind this. But even without it, you kind of know that when you've got good music on, you can run that little bit faster, or, you know, for a little bit longer, or lift a little bit heavier. So, and as you say, there's no harm, is there? So employing music in those settings, you know, could have quite a big role, actually.
Definitely. And with this evidence that shows these changes on the immune system, as we develop that, then we can support why, we can kind of explain why it makes us maybe run faster or feel a bit happier. Yeah. And then hopefully it can be something that can be almost like rolled out across the board in different settings.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a really, really exciting area. And actually, it's exciting for me because I've never thought of it in a scientific way. But by being able to put a scientific backing behind it, it almost supports what I do. And I can say to people, well, this is why what I'm doing is working.
Yeah. And you are perfectly placed, actually, to embrace that message because, you know, you're a trained doctor. You're there to help improve people's health in whichever way it happens to be, depending on what you're doing. And then to incorporate music, which is obviously your huge passion, into that, they integrate so beautifully.
Definitely. And I'm definitely going to be using these bits of evidence in upcoming conversations I have with people since you showed me them.
Because oh, brilliant.
I never really thought about it until you told me. You always hear of people saying, oh, we used music during this operation. Again, an anecdotal thing. It helped with this, or we used it after or before.
Yeah.
But there's never anything substantial behind it. And this feels like a really good starting point.
And I mean, I know that a lot of women, when they're pregnant, and this isn't something I've looked into or know if there's any evidence for, but obviously they play music to their, you know, with their babies whilst they're growing, don't they? And
exactly.
And I think there's some sort of historical, not science, but sort of maybe old wives' tales behind that or whatever. But often you find that when you explore these, there is some truth to it. So
I completely agree with you. This is something that needs further. I think it needs further research in all these different areas.
So
the places where we already believe it is helping, if we can just support that with science, then it can be less of like an old wives' tale, or less of like a pseudoscience. Let's actually give it some backing.
Yeah, and the other aspect of it that I wondered if you thought about is, we also know that it can reduce cortisol levels. So cortisol is one of our stress hormones. And, you know, many of us are stressed, probably without even realizing it these days, but particularly in healthcare settings, and particularly over the last 18 months because of everything that's been going on. You know, music could potentially have a place there for the people working within the healthcare settings, not just the patients, you know, to sort of help them to sort of, you know, decompress perhaps after work, or even I'm just wondering about during work breaks, having music in social areas and that sort of thing could be something to be explored as well.
I mean, that's a really interesting thought, actually, because rarely do we think about the healthcare of the staff who are actually, you know, delivering the healthcare. And as you mentioned, yeah, cortisol is clearly linked to stress, and the cortisol has a lot of impacts in the body as a result of stress. So if we can reduce that with, say, music, that is an amazing step in the right direction. And yes, implementing that, those changes in the healthcare population could be of huge benefit. It would give staff members extra years in their career, or make them feel happier on the job, a better job satisfaction. And there are definitely places you can implement, as you say, like in staff rooms, in doctors' messes, or, you know, just encouraging staff to listen to it, or even giving them the opportunity to go to concerts. And I know that there are things in the works now, largely based on the last 12 months, where people have recognised the stress that doctors, nurses, porters, security staff, everyone who works in those challenging environments, like within the NHS, are going through, and starting to offer out tickets to these members of staff, because there has been evidence like this to show that music can improve mental health in this population. So this is really exciting.
Yeah, that's amazing. I love that. I hadn't heard of that initiative, but that is incredible, something like that.
Yeah.
You know, the impact it could have, because, you know, the levels of stress and burnout are not just in healthcare professionals. Obviously, there are lots of challenging professions, and just, you know, people face a lot of stresses in life. But to find easy to implement non-harmful things like music that could be helpful or beneficial is always a bonus in my book.
I think music has got so much potential and can be implemented anywhere. And the thing is, you can access music in multiple different forms. That's really what's great about it. You can listen to it on the radio, you can listen to it when you're going for a run, and as I say, concerts as well. And those initiatives I mentioned, I don't think they're necessarily public knowledge yet, but I know for a fact that there are things going on at the moment to give healthcare staff access to certain areas. And to more music, because there is good evidence that it will improve their mental well-being.
And when I used to work as a GP, I'm thinking about, you know, some of my busiest days when you literally have got patient after patient, you've got extras, home visits and everything. And actually, some of the things I know now, I wish I could take back to that former self of mine, because imagine having a 5-minute music break, you know, how much that could decompress you in between, you know, your morning and your afternoon surgery, or before you go on your home visits or something. Just small things like that could actually have such a huge impact on the productivity and just the overall health and well-being of you know, of healthcare professionals.
It's like when you go out for a breather, just take some fresh air for like for 2 minutes before starting something new, or removing yourself from a situation that's stressful by going for a short walk. Music might have a place in those situations. Because I know for me personally, if I need an outlet, it'll be with music.
Yeah,
that's my substitute for maybe going for a walk. So I think people do need to try things out. You know, consider music as an option. Have playlists to help you relax. Look on Spotify, they're relaxing playlists.
Yeah.
And actually, it's not always about listening to relaxing music. Sometimes it's about playing music that aligns with the emotions you're feeling, and then toning it down to the level that you want to feel at. So it kind of brings you back to that comfortable level. It's its own language, really, isn't it?
It is, isn't it? And so I remember talking to, I spoke to, I don't know if you've heard of Frank Lipman. He's a sort of a pioneer in the functional medicine field, and he's very much interested in longevity now. And he says, listen to a bit of Bob Marley. It's the right beats per minute to help you live longer. I don't know if there's any evidence behind that, but I'm like, you know what? It's great. Something to try, isn't it?
I mean, Bob Marley definitely makes you feel happy when you listen to it.
Yeah.
And in terms of beats per minute, I find when something's really fast and really heavy, it gives me palpitations. So I do prefer things that are more in tune with my, probably my heartbeat, or at least like a multiple of my heartbeat. I don't know if that's a thing, but that's how I feel.
Well, I think that's what he said. And I don't want to quote the wrong figure, which is why I didn't say it. I think Bob Marley's either generally 55 or 65 beats per minute. And I think what he was trying to say is it goes along with that sort of natural heart rate that many of us might rest around. And there was something to do with that, but I should probably look into it a bit more.
I wouldn't be surprised, because when the dance music that I tend to DJ, that tends to be around 120 beats per minute, which is probably double most people's heart rate.
Yeah.
So it's still a multiple. So really, it's kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
You just half the beats that you're kind of feeling, really, when you're listening to it. I suppose that works, because with the dance music, I feel that's what I connect with. And it might be because of something more built into me rather than actually liking the song itself. It might be just like, I like that because the rhythm of it aligns with the pace of my life, or the pace of what's going on in my mind.
Your brain activity.
Exactly. Yeah.
And I imagine there's so much individual variation in that. Actually, everyone will have their own, and that's why we all like different types of music perhaps more than others, because we'll have our own our own area of music that resonates with us.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this last year or so has been massive for you. And, you know, I followed you on Instagram for a while, and I've sort of seen all this growth and all this exciting stuff. It's incredible. What are your plans and goals and ambitions going forward over the next, I don't know, short term and then a bit longer term?
Having built a platform over this year, it's just motivated me to keep growing. This time last year, if you'd asked me where I want to be, I would have probably said something that was only 10% of where we've actually got to. I built an amazing sort of team around me of people who are helping me grow NH sessions and get it in front of as many people. So in terms of NH sessions, I want that to be a platform to celebrate our amazing healthcare staff and everyone associated, but also using it to support emerging artists, but promote the physical and mental well-being of everyone in the public in all forms. So I would still love to do DJ sets with other influencers. For example, a dream collaboration would be, for example, the Body Coach, because obviously he reaches people in a similar way, physical and mental health.
Yeah.
If I could bring my music into that, I feel like that could be really powerful. So that's kind of one thing, continuing with the NH sessions. I've got some amazing gigs lined up. This week we're going to announce a huge, huge festival where I'm playing on the main stage just before the headliner, which is really exciting.
Amazing.
Going on tour with Fatboy Slim later this year. And during the summer, I'm DJing at stadiums for a huge cricket event, which is televised on the Sky and BBC. And yeah, it's just hopefully it's going to be a fun summer of events and music. So yeah, that's exciting.
It's the stuff that dreams are made of, isn't it? If you were to look back at your younger self, you know, the 7-year-old or whoever who was too small to play the tenor saxophone.
This is what I dreamt of. Actually, no, I didn't realize. I didn't know where I could be in 5 years or 10 years time. I knew that I wanted to always do something in music and always be a doctor. And this seems to be the perfect coupling of both those avenues.
Yeah.
If you asked me a few months ago where I could see myself in 6 months, I would not have thought what's happening this month is what would have been happening. I'm living off adrenaline right now, and it is nonstop. It is nonstop.
It's worth it though. And I think many people within medicine, because it's such an all-encompassing profession, who do have outside interests can find it very difficult actually to merge them in a way that's meaningful and that they can still make a difference and you know, do what they love. And you seem to be managing to do that so well that, you know, it can only just grow from here and get better and better, which is fantastic.
I think people shouldn't feel the pressure to have to combine their two. I think I felt this pressure early on. But the main thing is just to really find that balance that makes you happy. So doing your medicine or whatever career it is, however many hours a week you need to do it, and then fitting in your other hobbies alongside it. And there might come that spark where you think, I can bring these two together. But ultimately, if you're passionate about both things independently, that's absolutely fine. But I think the most useful thing that I believe in, that I try and share with other people who are also trying to sort of develop their careers outside of their full-time jobs, could be as a doctor like myself, or it could be as a nurse, could be anything at all, is not to put high pressure, that time constraints on achieving those goals, because they're not always realistic. I think it's important to write things down and create a path, and, you know, write down your overarching bigger dreams and break them down into smaller ones, but create best case and worst case timescales and realistic scenarios. Because if you don't achieve the best case, you don't want to feel demoralized.
Yeah.
Ultimately, just keep moving in the right direction and you will get to that end goal eventually, as long as you're making progress. So that's my mindset.
Yeah, no, I really agree with that. And I like that you said that. It's really useful for people to hear that from somebody who's sort of traveled that path, actually.
Exactly. And I've been doing music all my life. And I've never said by this time next year, I want to do this. I would say my dream is to do this, and the steps to get there are these. Let's achieve these steps one by one. Let's just keep moving in the right direction. And as you tick them off, you feel like, okay, I'm reaching that end goal, but there's no pressure on getting to that bottom place.
Yeah.
And by having that pathway and that journey, you actually take detours and have experiences that you never thought you would have. So I think planning is key, but taking the pressure off is really important.
Yeah, and like you say, it opens up those avenues for other things to happen along the way.
Exactly.
Now, over this last year, as music's become so much, you know, more integral to your life, do you think you've learned anything new about music that you didn't know or understand before? Have you seen or understood it or listened to it in a different way?
Completely. I've listened to artists who I never thought I would, because it wasn't the type of music I would typically listen to. Like, my taste is very broad. But when I have people messaging me saying, oh, could I get involved in NH sessions? I think, wow, this is amazing. Let's expand it wider and wider. There's genres of music. I mean, if I could say, like rock music, guitar music isn't what I typically listen to, but I've suddenly got into it. Or like I'll sometimes just think, okay, what's going on in that world right now? And I'll go on to Spotify and play that playlist. I've been doing my research a lot more to find out what's going on, who the new artists are. So I think my music taste has really broadened. And I suppose that's part of the learning process, isn't it?
And that's the beautiful thing, because actually there are so many different types of music. It would be a shame, I suppose, and many of us don't experience all of them, because we do tend to stick to the ones that we think we like. But when you're somehow encouraged or even forced slightly to listen to slightly different types, and you discover that you actually quite enjoy them, I think that's just, like you say, broadens your horizons.
The one thing I wanted to try and get into was like guitar stuff because some of my friends love guitar and rock bands. And I found like a playlist that was acoustic guitar covers or rock covers of dance music that I love.
Oh, brilliant.
And I thought these are like songs that I will recognize, but if it's played in a different format, I just find that really almost like stimulating and quite nice.
Yeah.
So there's everything out. There's so much out there. You just got to listen and just, you know, try everything. Try everything once.
Yeah. Now, do you have a favorite track? Something that you, or it doesn't have to be current, just something that you always go back to, that you feel good when you listen to, that you'll put on regularly? Is there anything that or has a specific meaning for you?
My music, I can't pick one track, but what I can pick is, what I can tell you is an artist who I love for multiple reasons, and that's Calvin Harris.
Okay.
And it's much deeper than just one song. I love what Calvin Harris does as an artist because he's been around for years and years, and this sound has evolved over time. One of his songs that stick in my mind is Summer, and coming up to summer or being in summer now, it's kind of topical, and it has that feel good anthem vibe, as if you're on holiday. So for that's one reason why I love Calvin Harris. He's been around for years, but he's also proven that as an artist, as a DJ, you can have longevity, because in the music industry right now, it's so difficult to do that. People have a big hit and then they're forgotten. But he's someone who's proven, like, if you adapt, if you, you know, keep taking risks and try new things and be open-minded, you can continue to grow with the industry. So that's why I love Calvin Harris. I've answered your question about favorite song. That's one of my favorite songs, but it's largely because I'm a massive fan of the artist.
Yeah, no, and I really understand that, because I think in this more modern world, because it's easier to get yourself seen and heard, I suppose, it's also easier to disappear. You know, because the next person or the next thing might come along. So to have longevity, not just in the music industry, I think even in acting, you know, all kinds of entertainment areas nowadays, you have to be adaptable, flexible, change, learn and grow to kind of keep your place, don't you?
That's spot on. It's not just music. It's across every single industry and every career. You have to be able to adapt to new settings, whether it would be like new colleagues, new managers at work, in a hospital, or in music, or in the media, where trends are changing every single day. One minute, national news will want your story. Next week, you're forgotten. There's someone else taking your place.
Yeah.
So I think having that willingness to change, but also try new things.
Yeah. But Dahlia, we've come to the end of our time. I've really enjoyed that. I feel we could have chatted on for ages.
Yeah.
If people want to connect with you, find out what you're up to, follow you, hear your music, where can they find you? Where are you most active, and where can they kind of get in touch?
Best place to find me is on my Instagram, at Bodalia DJ, Bodalia DJ. Also the same on Twitter, and my music's on Spotify under my name, Bodalia. And there's music on there already, but there is so much more to be released soon.
Incredible. Thank you so much for joining me today. I've really enjoyed that.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been great chatting.
Thank you so much for listening today, and I really hope you've enjoyed this conversation. Do follow me on Instagram at thehealthspandoctor for information on the show, as well as recipes and health and nutrition advice. Until next week, let's live life better.